Colossians chapter 2, we've been going through Paul's polemic epistle, is what it is called, because he argues some very important things to the body of Christ that were slowly falling into the philosophies of man and the intellectualism of man, into the worship of the wrong things, into getting into self-denial and will worship and losing the deity and the sufficiency of Christ in their lives. And so he writes a letter to try to bring them back to the simplicity of the gospel. And last week we shared about how, or 2 weeks ago, because I was in Easton, about how the whole mystery that God has hidden through the ages is that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That God himself would condescend and step out of heaven, out of glory, to earth, and walk on this planet, become fully man, and still yet be fully God, and put our sins upon himself and go to the cross, take our sins with him, die there, and then go back up to heaven, and then bless us with Pentecost, with his Spirit coming down and being available to every person that would call on the name of the Lord, that Christ in us, because he's in us, God knows who are his, and because we have the Spirit of God in us, we are going to go to heaven. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not. If you do, you're part of the body of Christ. And every bit of him went up. So every bit of the body of Christ is going to go up too. And so now we're in chapter 2 of Colossians. And it's going to sound, guys, a little bit lofty as I read these words. So I want to just really make it simple because it's meant to be simple. Paul has a way of throwing a lot of prepositional phrases together, and sometimes a whole chapter is one sentence. And you start looking at it and going, what in the world is he talking about? But for our sakes today, I want you to consider four things that this chapter 2 of Colossians is going to talk about. If you like to take notes, one is intellectualism, 2 is legalism, 3 is mysticism, and 4 is asceticism. These are four things that Paul is going to warn us that rob us, that cheat us out of the simplicity of the joy we have in Christ Jesus and the sufficiency we have in him. And if you will this morning, just to follow what the Holy Spirit was speaking as we began the service, is there fogs. There are fogs that get in between what God in our hearts or God in our minds. And he wants that fog removed. He wants us to see in simplicity the glory that's just in being abiding in him and having him present in our lives. And how sometimes these other things can get in the way of that. Not only does it remove us from our looking to Christ for all sufficiency, but it divides the body of Christ into elitist groups and causes schisms in the body. So let's look at this. I'm going to read from chapter 2 of Colossians. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I was thinking about that because I was doing some premarital counseling yesterday morning, and that just came to my thought. It seemed like one of them just really didn't understand the fullness that we have in Christ. That they've never really experienced what it is to really know God, to really recognize that the clouds and the rain that was out there every day, you had nothing to do with those water molecules turning to water vapor up there in the heavens. They would have happened whether you woke up or not. You were not in control of that. You're not in control of God parting the fog this morning and the sun coming through. It was going to happen whether you believe it or not. You're going to enjoy the riches and the wealth of God's goodness, whether you believe in him or not. And there was this yearning in me to say, God, can't you see? People walk through life never realizing that they can say thank you to their Creator for the blessings they have. And what a miserable, boring, empty life that is to walk through here and not even recognize the very one that knows you better than you know yourself. And he does. I don't know how many hairs are on my head. Does anybody here know? Besides, it's easy to count 3 hairs, so John probably knows how many are on his head. But now, sorry. Okay, wake up, guys. I'm going to make a fool of myself here this morning. So at least you can do is laugh at me while I'm making a fool of myself. Thank you, Lise. All right. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows exactly how our chromosomes are set up. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why would we want to go through life not abiding and enjoying the fellowship with our Maker? You know? And so Paul's just like, guys, I really want you to get this. You would have no idea how my heart is just yearning and the conflict, the desire that you guys in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis and this whole area here of Asia Minor would get and understand this, that hey, whenever we understand this, you know, about the abundance of Christ in us, that we become knit together, because it's that understanding that knits us together, makes us one. And he doesn't say that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are come from Jesus or from God. He says they're in Him. They're in Him. And, you know, it seems like it's popular today to try to categorize Christianity into steps, you know, 12-step program, 10-step program, 5 ways for your marriage to succeed, 5-10 ways to be successful as a Christian businessman. And we have all of these things, you know, WWJD braces, what would Jesus do? And we lose sight that He's in us, and He speaks to our conscience, and we know what's right and wrong without following 10 steps. And the beauty of just in simplicity of just abiding in Christ and just letting Him flow through our lives. That's the beautiful thing, that Paul says all these other things start fogging our mind and our hearts from the simplicity of being believers and abiding in Christ. And it's in Him are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, not from Him. You don't read it in a book. I always keep looking for that book in the Christian bookstore. It says how to be delivered from how-to books. I would buy that one, actually. And some of us need that. We're so consumed with the idea that the New Testament is a new set of rules that replace the Old Testament. No, the New Testament is simply God speaking to His apostles to set foundational principles that we might be able to confirm the things the Holy Spirit are doing in us in our lives. Or to correct the things that we think we're doing in the Spirit of God, but they aren't really. They're falling outside of God. So He gives us a confirmation and a correction through the New Testament. We've tried to turn it all into another set of rules to follow. Where there's liberty in Christ. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. The rules are done away with, as we're going to see as we continue now. Okay, so verse 4. This understanding that Jesus is in you is important for us, because he says, Paul warns the church. So he says, lest anyone should deceive. That deceiving here, this is tricky. You know, remember it came to my mind yesterday, and it just fit that right into the lesson, that when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan into the promised land, when we got baptized and accepted Christ to our hearts, we became part of dwelling in the abundant life in the promised land, land of milk and honey. The first battle, Jericho. We're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. So they walked around Jericho because that was a type of the world. The second battle was Ai. It's a type of the flesh. They had to go back a second time with Ai because the riches, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world caused them to fall and lose that battle. And the third one was the Gibeonites, the ones that deceived them into thinking they were good guys, but they really weren't. And so these battles we deal with all our lives, but deception is a big one. It got David. The Gibeonites became part of the children of Israel for the rest of time. They were the water carriers, you know, but they were always there. And it was deception that brought them into the camp. And we've got to be careful about deceiving people with persuasive words. The wisdom of this world is not the wisdom of God. God tells us that in his letter to the Corinthians, that the wisdom of man is foolishness of God. And God's wisdom is foolishness to man. And we'll turn over to Isaiah 55 real quick just to get a heart and a feel for this.